A website about a podcast, about a discussion, about a conversation, about creativity. Welcome back to What If? Creativity in a Nutshell, a podcast brought to you by Berg School of Communication. I'm Adam Horn, creative director of Berg Studio, and once again I'm joined by the adorable, the immutable...
by me, Christopher Waldekranz, marketing director here at Berg School of Communication.
So on today's episode, I really want to talk about why creativity matters. And I know that might sound like a slightly naive question, and I think that listeners will have their own existing views about why creativity matters, but I think it might be nice to explore all the reasons why it might or might not matter.
That comes down to sort of the perspective on which we're looking at creativity. Creativity as a whole, of course it matters. Otherwise, we'd still be sort of monkeys in a cave.
Well, yeah, that's almost the first point. And that is like creativity in humanity is just linked to at the lowest kind of core. Mm. I mean, I think the reason why we were the most successful species in the jungle is because we were the most creative. I mean, we didn't have the biggest muscles or the biggest brains.
No, but we could create stories. And through those stories, we could communicate and pass on knowledge. And we could create a view of the world in which we live. I actually read the book Sapiens. Have you read that?
Yes. The author whose name is totally unpronounceable to my Australian sensibilities.
And I can't remember his name. That's terrible.
But Yavis something.
Yeah.
But we'll edit it in here.
Yeah. Sapiens is, for me, was such an eye-opener when it comes to sort of the evolution of mankind. And one of the things that the author really sort of put an emphasis on is creativity, our creativity, and also our ability to gossip, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah. Gossip builds trust. It builds a community. Like, there's lots of reasons why those trashy magazines at the checkout at the supermarket exist.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's a bit sort of sidetracked.
Once again, it's another podcast.
creativity, why is it important? I mean, to me, it has the ability to make new things familiar.
That's interesting.
And I think it's a way, and also to make familiar things new. And that sounds very poetic, and it's because it was defined like that by a poet, so I'm not taking credit for it. But I think it's a very beautiful sort of explanation of what creativity is. Because if we think about it, if we want to make new things familiar, then creativity is a tool for us to use to look at the world and to take in new concepts, new ideas, new opinions in a way that we can relate to them.
I totally agree. It's hard to know where to take this topic because I feel like there should be like a evolutionary biologist here to correct my mistakes or to kind of guide the conversation. But it's like, you know, humans evolved to have a brain that could imagine the future, which I don't think existed in every animal at every stage of evolution. So as soon as you can imagine a future, you can start to imagine that future being different. And I think that like creativity is that bridge to get you to a future that is preferable. And it gets you to a better tomorrow and a better place.
So, oh, yeah. And if you can imagine the future, you can create the future.
Exactly.
Because if you can't see it, where do you start?
That sounds even better. That sounds like a tagline for a car.
Right? If you use it, just send us the invoice.
Exactly.
We'll charge you. Creativity is just a really beautiful tool that it doesn't require any resources but some neurons and a great idea. And it can really change the world. So I think that answers the question. Is it important? Yes. Why is it important? Because it can change things.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've got a few little notes written down here. And like one of the first ones is like creativity matters because it's a great expression of oneself. Mm. So it's a great way of telling the world what you think and feel and what matters to you, and as well as kind of signaling that back to yourself.
Mm.
So, I mean, I think the psychological benefits of being and looking and feeling and contributing creativity is really good for your own self, which is kind of innate. Like, we all kind of know that, but we don't really take much of an opportunity to look at how expressing yourself, even through like speaking your mind or, you know, choosing the right words to say to a friend or a partner or whatever. But it's like, it's really powerful to take a step back and kind of look at the things that you do every day without thinking, and just seeing how a creative expression or a little emoji love heart on a piece of paper when you walk out the door can be really powerful as a way of expressing yourself.
To help make sense of all the different emotions and feelings that you experience but you haven't put word to. I mean, I don't know how many, countless times seen, you know, video clips or even commercials that have make me cry, because it just hits that nerve. And it's because they've combined facts and sort of insight with an expression that just really touched my heart.
Now, do you find that those moments happen to you more often when you get older?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Why do you think that is? Because I find the same thing.
Because I get more sentimental. I mean, but, yeah, but I'm a crybaby. I mean, I can watch like Extreme Home Makeovers and start crying. So I'm kind of easily moved. But I think that's for me, that's a blessing, because I can, I've actually even cried at my own work.
Wow.
I know.
There's a story.
I don't know what that tells you about me, but I think I've used my sort of sensitive side to also kind of calibrate the work that I do. Does this make sense? Do people really care? Because when you work on something, and I'm not talking about sort of fine artists and people who are like really exploring the boundaries of creativity, but what, you know, in the work that I do, it's so easy to just sit there and it, you know, for it to become a system and a process that you're just going to go through.
Yeah, totally.
And you can easily just miss that emotional nerve.
I think I disagree insofar as I take a different opinion. Like, you meet people that like to put a lot of themselves in their work. I don't especially like to do that. So I like really smart, creative, interesting problem solving. But I don't know if it's the fact that I find myself a little bit boring or a little bit uninteresting for most problem solving, but I'm happy to get the hell out of the work. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't find myself that interesting. So, I love when I get to pretend to be an organization, a company, a brand, someone else. I find that so much more interesting than being me.
Obviously, when I work for a client, I'm not trying to, you know, force my own opinions onto their brand or their, I don't find myself to be that interesting, but I do share something with most people, and that's that I'm a person, and that I might share the same, at least structural culture, because I'm, you know, I'm where I'm at physically, and we share a specific, you know, kind of set of norms and all of that. And if I can feel that, okay, this work really touches me and the people around me, it's kind of a proof that it might also touch other people. Obviously, you're not always your target audience, and that's important to kind of separate, so you don't just do things that you like. But you shouldn't necessarily, at least in my opinion, forget about your own opinions and your own sort of taste, what touches you, because if it touches you, then it's going to touch someone else.
Yeah, I agree. I think sometimes when you're working on projects, there's this tendency to see an audience as this kind of alien species, 16 to 21 year old members of a certain generation, look, feel, think completely different, their generation, X, Y, Z, millennial, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, I feel like they're human first. Like,
yeah,
something that's kind of funny is probably funny to young, old. Like, there's probably lots of, I don't know, I think we slice people into weird groups sometimes.
I think so too. And I think that this, something that is fundamental that makes us people is our ability to empathize with others.
We're going to get to beauty pretty soon, but like, it does make the world more beautiful. And maybe we should get there. I mean, one of the reasons why creativity matters is because it makes the world more beautiful. So what are your thoughts on that, Christopher?
I think beauty is super important because there's beauty everywhere.
100%.
And it's kind of easy to and beauty doesn't necessarily have to be sort of visual beauty. It can be just the common denominator of being a person and a human. I have this little game. If I wake up and I'm in a bad mood and I sit on the metro in the morning, I try to look at people the way and imagine what they looked like when they were 5 years old.
Ah, so I think I do the opposite. I try to imagine people really old.
Oh, yeah? Okay,
maybe,
cool.
Maybe I dated for too long.
But it's kind of amazing what happens, because all of a sudden you see this young, innocent person who is not a banker with a, you know, yeah, slick hair back and, you know, fast shoes, but rather just like someone trying to make sense of the world. And all of a sudden it becomes so kind and lovely.
I do a similar thing. I try to imagine people as actors. So I'm like, this man on the metro is playing the role of a bank manager today. So like, we're all just kind of like, we're all just playing little, fulfilling little roles in society, but really we're the same kind of like primitive primate that used to live in a jungle.
Yeah. And I think America is really good at that. I mean, they always play the emotional card whenever they, you know, makes, you know, a campaign or whatever. Their main goal is to make you cry. Yeah. And there's a reason for it, because when you open up and you experience a new sensation, all your senses are being activated. And so you're much more susceptible to reflection and to really kind of change your train of thought. If we don't play that card, then what's the incentive to care?
There's been lots of research around this, and it's just the idea that humans are rational and that we make perfectly logical choices never made sense, and that we're hugely influenced by our emotions and our biases and our experiences, etc. So I think creativity is a good way to start to work that out from the outside and kind of get to the core of it.
Mm.
One thing about beauty that I find interesting is how quickly people are to dismiss beauty. Because it's often seen as like a superficial thing or a nice to have or a shallow thing that kind of doesn't always stand up to being meaningful and that important. But I think it does. I mean, being around beautiful objects or beautifully designed things helps you think clearer, helps you, you know, being around beautiful, beautifully, smartly designed furniture helps clear your head, helps you challenge yourself to be kind of better and clearer and more focused.
And when you relax, things happen. You start listening to your own thoughts and you have time and energy to focus inwards rather than outwards trying to make sense of it. I mean, try to meditate or come up or brainstorm in a super messy room that stinks of, you know, leftovers from 3 days ago.
I must admit, as someone who's only been in Stockholm for a couple of years, it's a hell of a city to be a creative thinker, because there's physical spaces and kind of like cultural spaces and emotional spaces that you get here that are, I think, a little bit unique if you've spent most of your life in this city.
So can you give us an example? Where's your favorite place to...
I move around a lot, so I move every half an hour or something because I get a little bit itchy to pick up and go somewhere else. But I just like coffee shops are really good here, just because you're not going to be stuck next to a table full of noisy people. People are really respectful of other people's privacy and space. There's green spaces everywhere. Winter is incredibly beautiful and exotic if you're an outsider. I always describe Stockholm as like the perfect place to write your book or to do your PhD, because it, right, like it gives you the headspace to do that. You got no excuses.
No, that's true.
Which is horrible and, yeah, beautiful. Whereas like, you know, Christopher and I both spent time in Paris previously, and that's got a whole different kind of energy. Like it's more in touch with its culture and history. And I think we'll get to culture as a really important expression of creativity. But it's like, you brainstorm differently when you're in a city like that.
Yeah, I mean, when I think of Paris, or when I think of like another bustling city like New York or London, I get a lot of inspiration, because I get a lot of input, because I'm like, wow, I'm just observing the world around me and it's super cool. And obviously some ideas are going to come up. But if I'm going to have output, I don't want that distraction. I want to focus and have the ability to listen to my own thoughts and to listen to, you know, a colleague or a team member or whatever, without the distractions, because then you can use all that inspiration to kind of create something new. I found it really hard, actually, when I lived in Sydney, to work as a creative, because it was so many things that just wanted my attention. if it wasn't the beautiful parrots flying around outdoors, it was the noisy traffic, or it was, you know, the beaches, or it was whatever. Like, I just wanted to go away. I want to go to the next thing. Whilst when I'm here, I don't have that urge, so I can actually sit down and focus and relax and come up with something
That's
new.
That's super interesting. I've never seen Sydney that way.
Really?
No. I mean, I always thought you could kind of get away. But I mean it's my local culture, so it kind of like, it's not
to me
that
everything
exotic.
Was so exotic.
I mean, the great thing about being a creative is that you can kind of justify all your little side adventures as research in a funny way.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So that's cool.
Done that. Check.
So I guess one other thing to talk about is how creativity is an expression of culture and about how it makes groups of people different to each other in a way that's really interesting.
Yeah, and it's also culture is an expression of creativity.
Yeah, totally.
It actually goes the way other way around as well, I think. But definitely, because, you know, within a culture, you have a certain set of norms that kind of dictates what is being premiered and what isn't. And so back to our two episodes ago when we talked about constraints, culture is a fantastic constraint when it comes to, you know, what to create and what's within the reasonable boundaries. So we can talk about culture from a macro perspective, like religion-wise and sort of, you know, the Western and the Middle Eastern and Asian and African and, you know, South American culture. But that's just being a bit too generic, I think, because the interesting cultures to me are the subcultures. So the cultures within cultures, because that's when the norms are really sort of being pushed and challenging sort of the outside norm. And I think that's where the most friction is. And that's where you can really, really mess up if you do it the wrong way.
Yeah, totally.
But you can also create genius within that world.
I think there was like a Brian Eno quote, and he described culture as everything that we don't need to do. And his example was something like, we need to eat, but we don't need to eat Christmas dinner.
We need to
stay warm, but we don't need to invent ball gowns or Oscar dresses or anything like that. So it's like, it's the stuff that we kind of have to do that we bring a whole lot of shared personality to. And I thought that was a nice way of putting it. I wish I thought of that.
Yeah, it's very clever. And culture is the glue between people. And also, you belong to many different cultures at the same time, obviously, because we have to remember that. No one person is just one thing. So we're a lot of different things at the same time. And I think it's that combination of different cultures that live within you.
Yeah, it's like layers of an onion.
100%.
You know, some days your hobbies are bigger than your nationality. Some days your nationality matters. Some days it doesn't. Some days you don't think about it, you know. If you're in a wildly different culture, your perception is, you know, that changes. So it's like, it's layers of an onion, and it's nice to be able to play around with what they are and to use and to look at them in almost a creative way.
Absolutely. And it's also, it has that added effect of, if you know, you know. So you can communicate with a certain group of people in a way that everyone outside of that culture will just not get it, but the people within that culture will get it 100% in like a split second.
Yeah.
And that creates also a sense of community. I follow a lot of meme accounts on Instagram. Some of them just do not make sense to me. Like I've tried and researched, like, what does this mean? I did not get it. And people around me are just laughing. And then I realized, oh, so we're not actually in the same clique here. We're not in the same club. And then
memes have gotten so much more sophisticated in the last 5 years.
Oh yeah.
They're
absolutely.
Just like you had to know the joke based on the joke based on the joke to
so
get the
meta.
New joke.
Yeah.
Another reason why I think creativity is important is because it just solves problems. Which sounds like the most obvious thing, but again, it's nice to kind of rewind and go back and challenge that stuff. The idea that you can make something that is better at that thing for tomorrow. So whether or not that is a tin opener that doesn't cut your hand, or whether or not that is a song that kind of gets you in more of a party vibe. And so like the idea is that you know, humans are these weirdly optimistic animals, like we're the very best and the very worst thing on the planet. But, you know, we've kind of got this really wild, naive at times optimism that, like, we can make things better.
Mm.
And I think, like, I think creativity is the underlying human trait that drives that. I like that. I like embracing my naive side.
Yeah.
I use it as a weapon.
You do? How?
Well, I just like I know that I'm certainly naive about certain areas, and I use that energy to throw carefully into different projects.
Mm.
Whereas, like, I've got friends that have a similar amount of experience, and they're like, well, we tried this and this didn't work. And I'm like, well, let's just throw it again.
Mm.
It's good to be naive at things. You don't want to get too expert at anything. You get a bit predictable then.
That's very true. But I find it hard sometimes being naive, because I'm afraid that I am going to come off as ignorant.
Yeah.
So where do you draw the line?
I think this is a cultural thing. So, like, in Australia, there's a culture of, like, self-deprecation, which is, like, a great joke is a joke that you make about yourself. Whereas, like, in the US, it's really weird. If you look at humor, you can watch a one-hour stand-up special and learn so much about a culture. But, like, in the US, and it's certainly in France, the victim is outside of the person that's telling the joke.
Yeah, slapstick.
Yeah, or it's like there's almost a bit of a meanness to it, whereas, like, English Australian comedy is a bit more, it's always okay to make joke about yourself.
Right.
And throw yourself under the bus. So if you grow up in that environment, you're okay to look a bit stupid and to be like, what do you think of this? Like, if it's stupid, I'll just go fix it.
Mm.
So I think that's, I definitely see it in Australian creatives internationally. They're happier to look a bit dumb, and they use that as a weapon. They use that as a strategy to kind of, you know, get themselves out there and to get good ideas moving. I don't know. I think it's cultural.
Mm.
If you hang out in Paris or France or whatever, it's like people are not very happy or not very confident or comfortable to have an idea that might be bad in public.
Right. Right.
Whereas in Sweden, it's really nice that people, like, there's a flatterness. People say flatness. It's not flat. That's never going to happen. But it's flatter than other places. People feel like they can kind of throw things out there a little bit more.
Interesting that you say that, coming from outside of Sweden. I find Sweden to be absolutely that, but also very, we have this, you know, political correctness here in Sweden.
Oh, your ideas can only exist in a small area.
Yeah.
There is that.
It's that. And I think that might have, you know, gotten me to the place where naivety is often scary, because what have I not thought of? Which toes am I now clamping on? Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. It's like there's certainly a lot more taboos here. The spectrum of conversation or acceptable ideas or ask the area you can have what if moments is definitely smaller here.
Which I think is one of the reasons why a lot of ideas that come out from Sweden, for example, or Scandinavia, but Sweden in particular, are often not super emotional, but they're very functional.
Yeah, I mean, you look at, like, when you start learning the language is really practical. Like,
is it?
Totally. Well, they remove like gender, and there's less idiomatic stuff, and there's like, it's like you smash words together until they hardly fit on a line of a newspaper, which is really hard as an outsider. It feels like Volvo engineers designed lots of things a bit.
Which is also creative, but it's just totally not that, it's just not that American version of creative.
No, but thank you for the engineers that invented the seatbelt and saved millions of lives. That's a great piece of creativity. The world thanks you.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, and Spotify that you can play in that car. Going back to sort of the focus of this episode, the importance of creativity. If you, Adam, would to give, like, a list of three things why creativity is important, what would you say?
Yeah, okay. So number one, I think it makes the world more beautiful and interesting, because all of a sudden you're open to more things as either a background influence or there's more places where great ideas live that you may kind of may just have previously ignored. The second is, I think that it helps you everywhere. So even like, even if you've got a traditionally creative job or a non-traditionally or a more traditional job that isn't normally seen as creative, I think it helps you organize everything better, and you just get, you give yourself better options to choose from, and you kind of challenge the status quo. And I think it just like, I think it helps you navigate the world in a more interesting way. I think it makes you more open to experiences and cultures and stuff that you may not even like, but you find interesting or curious for a different reason. And sometimes you get paid for it.
Yeah.
I remember like when I was growing up, my mum was a nurse, and my dad would say, ask how her day was, and she'd say that there would be people at the hospital that wouldn't be there tomorrow when she went back. And I'm like, I want a job where if you have a bad meeting, everyone's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. I think it's really good fun. You also, another thing that you don't often think about is you get to hang out with really cool people. So it's an industry that attracts interesting, quirky, weird people. So it's an industry where like, if you work on a fishing boat for 5 years and then you're in the army for 3 years, like that's a crazy weird background that makes you very good at looking at things from a unique perspective.
I love that because, I mean, in my opinion, the creative world within communication is, it can be like quite like-minded, but it's also where you find the most quirky and sort of misfits people in society.
Oh, I think you just need to embrace straight up weirdness.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that.
Weirdness and randomness.
Totally.
Absolutely. I mean, I think my list would be...
Yeah, I'm very interested about your list. What would your top three things be?
I think number one is to gain a greater appreciation for the things around you. So if you add sort of a layer of creativity over mundane things, they can really move you. So that's number one, to make people appreciate what's around them. I think also it's a way to really challenge your own ideas of the world. In a very smart, effective, and sweet, beautiful way. And that is really pushing humanity forward in a way, because if we didn't do that, we would just stagnate and become boring. And number three, I think it doesn't cost anything, but it can make all the difference. And to me, that's the most beautiful thing. It just requires a great idea, and then that can change the whole game. So for me, it's just the simpleness of it. I think that's...
Yeah, there's a certain kind of elegance in that simplicity.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like the solutions that seem most beautiful or most right in a way that you can either explain or not. Because sometimes you look at things and you're like, that's great. I don't know why. Mm. Don't make me use mouth words to express it.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's those things that are the most kind of simple... elegant solutions. I think that's very beautiful. Your list was much more concise than mine.
Oh, was it?
A little bit.
Okay. Yeah. It's just such a luxury to have the opportunity to have this as our job, to come up with ideas. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, absolutely. And I like, hopefully there's a few people listening that get a little bit jealous and a little bit motivated to, you know, challenge themselves in some interesting ways.
Yeah.
Well, I think that just about wraps it up. So thank you for joining me today, Christopher.
Well, thank you. This was fun.
It really
was fun. I mean, let me know if you want me back to talk about anything else, because this is just lovely to sit here and talk to you about things. Because it's also that, you know, I think I said this in the first episode, when you have to put words to your experiences, whether it be, you know, how to design a design guide or how to, you know, come up with new ideas or whatever, when you're forced to actually verbalize them, you tend to become better at it. So hopefully I leave this room a little bit more creative. I hope so.
It's been really fun having and hanging out. I mean, I would like, it's the kind of thing you can do for hours and hours. So we'll try and edit it down into a nice podcast format.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk soon.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.